19 minutes away from 5 o'clock. Bullseye on the afternoon continues here on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bulbarch, Matt Douglas taking you right into the WEOL Scholastic Games of Lorain County, presented by the Elyria Public Library System. Midview taking on Lake Ridge. That begins at 6, and that'll lead you into Cavaliers basketball tonight. The Wine and Gold hosting the Milwaukee Bucks at Quicken Loans Arena. The six-game roadie is over for the Cavaliers. They're at home for the first time in 2 weeks. For the first time in a week, we go back to the hotline to talk to our Hollywood guru, the one and only Al Harris. Al, how are you, my man?
I'm fantastic, guys. How are you doing?
Lovely. I mean, the sun's out here, although I'm sure the sun's out in Los Angeles right now, and I'm sure it's
a bit
warmer than 38, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it's actually, I'm not trying to, be a party pooper here, but it's been like really cold lately. Like all weekend, I think it was like mid-50s, which I know is warm for Cleveland, but out here it's cold, and I've been spoiled. But today's a nice 68, so I'm happy.
68. You know, we would kill for 68 parts.
I totally agree. It's why I moved out here. So you guys can only have yourselves to blame for staying there. One. Two. This is actually still cold for this time of year in Los Angeles. Oh, I'm just saying. I've been spoiled. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I owe you a visit, so I'm going to come out there and I'm going to enjoy. Yeah, I'll enjoy the finer parts of Los Angeles. I know you know all the good spots. So
I do.
Hey, I want to start with a show that I was reading up about today. I've not seen it. I've only heard about this thing on Netflix called Feed Phil. It's been picking up a little bit of steam. My question to you is, what makes this particular show any different than any of these other food shows? I feel like, you know, food shows are great. Some offer something a little bit different than others. What makes this one different?
Well, weirdly enough, when you brought this up to me, we talked about this earlier today. I knew of the show, but I've known about this for a while, but it had a different name at the time. So basically, this is the creator, showrunner of Everybody Loves Raymond. Who's done a couple of these, like, traveling show ideas before. I think there was a documentary about him trying to adapt Everybody Loves Raymond for, like, Russia, and that was a documentary series. So now he's doing the whole food thing, and I think it's him traveling to other countries with, like, family, talking about trying different foods, the culture. From what I'm told is I haven't seen it yet as well, but I'm told it's, when you ask what makes it different, it's not a whole lot. It's basically a guy who isn't a chef doing this. So it's, I don't know, from what I've heard, it really lacks a point of view. Some of the jokes land not as well. I haven't seen it yet, so this is just what I've heard. But what I think the more interesting part is really Netflix getting more and more into the food docu game as not just that, but David Chang, who's a James Beard Award-winning chef in New York, his show just came out called Ugly Delicious, which I heard is much better. And I've heard really good things about that, where it's more of a different take on the... There's just so many shows you can do about traveling the world trying food. I mean, Bourdain pretty much is the gold standard. And you have Andrew Zimmern, and his take was, trying different bizarre foods. I think what David Chang does is he gets more into the culture and really sees different side. Well, I think Phil's is more of just, seeing it as a tourist and not as an expert, which is definitely good for certain people. Some people want people that, are an expert in that field telling you what to eat. But some people just like, what would it be like if I went there? And that's, I think, what the Phil show is geared towards.
Okay, so from that perspective, it's a hair different then, because you're getting it from the point of view which you believe you would get yourself, right? You want to you want to go into these situations, into these different cultures, and you would like to know how to suggest or how to approach that. And I think that's a little bit interesting, because it's like a regular man or regular woman's version of what they would do, what kinds of things they would do if they were out in these areas where they had not explored before. So,
okay, exactly.
I could see how that might be a little bit different. Going to the other end of the earth here, so to speak, you know, I feel like this is a topic that we've tackled once before, but I wanted to bring it back up. I wanted to revive it, pun fully intended, with the Will and Grace revival picked up for a third season, the Roseanne revival set to rock and roll very, very soon. Any other revivals that we have on the horizon? I feel like there have been a lot more. I mean, I was looking back today and I thought, man, oh man, like the last couple of years, there really have been a ton of these things. Are there any other revivals up on the horizon?
Well, Bull, I think we like to call them reboots now. I think we've rechristened them to call them to rebooting the franchise, not just reviving it, but making it something, not just reviving the same old thing, but making it different. So they like the term a reboot. And, you know, there's been a ton of these and there's going to be a ton more. And most of the more interesting ones, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of ones that are coming up soon that are ready to go. You hear a lot of, like, these pilots that have been paid for that you won't know if they'll get picked up. There was that Beverly Hills Cop one a few years ago that they did a pilot for. Eddie Murphy was a cameo in it. Judge Reinhold was actually in it, and that just didn't get picked up. So you hear of these a lot. There was a Bad Boys one that a pilot's been ordered for with Gabriel Union. There's been, I think Rock was producing a Miami Vice reboot. There's a live-action Jetsons. There's a lot of rumors of these. None of these have been are being brought to series as of now. But there is, of the ones coming out, the one that looks the most interesting to me is also a Netflix show. It's a reboot of Lost in Space, which was a 50s sci-fi show that they did a horrible, horrible movie for, starring Matt LeBlanc and William Hurt, which got critically panned. But the trailers for the new one look kind of interesting and look like they're having a little more fun with it. And they did some great casting by having Parker Posey, who's great at chewing scenery, playing the big villain. And so I'm kind of excited for that. The trailers look pretty solid. I never thought I'd be excited for a Lost in Space material, but I think that one's, of all the ones I've seen and heard about coming out soon, that's probably my top choice right now.
Al Harris, our Hollywood guru, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Hey, speaking of revivals and reboots, what kinds of things are you hearing about this new Lara Croft Tomb Raider movie? I mean, it got destroyed at the box office by Black Panther, but that's because Black Panther is crushing all kinds of different records. But initially, it seemed like that was going to do at least a little bit better at the box office. I mean, I guess it did okay, but I think the expectations were a heck of a lot higher.
See, I don't know. For me, anytime you do a video game movie, especially a reboot of a franchise they'd already done, I'm skeptical. From what I've heard, this is actually, critically wise, doing better than a lot of people thought. It's still not doing great, but I've heard it's a B movie. It's a fun B movie that takes the Lara Croft character and updates it. And I think that's the most you can be said. Like, it's nothing I was excited for. I really didn't care. I saw the original Evangelina Jolie, thought it was fine. Didn't really understand why they were rebooting it. I do like Alicia Vikander, though, and I thought like she was a good choice for it. But I think it's doing exactly how I thought it would do, maybe a little better, even though it's not killing the box office. But again, we're in that time of year that unless you're a Black Panther, you're not going to light the box office on fire.
Well, speaking of, you know, and I know as we get closer to the spring, there are a few titles out there, I think, that are at least a little intriguing. The big one heading into the middle of the spring, I believe April 27th is the release date for the new Avengers movie, The Infinity War, scheduled to come out about a month earlier than expected. Are there some others in the mix, though, as we get deeper into the spring here that you're a little more excited about?
Well, for me, and you know personally, my taste kind of goes towards more independent fare. There's a couple coming out that I'm really excited for. First off, the Wes Anderson Isle of Dogs, which is taking the same kind of animation used for Fantastic Mr. Fox, that premiered at South By last week in fantastic reviews. That comes out next Friday. I'm very excited for that.
Is that the one with Bill Murray?
It's Bill Murray and everyone else. It's about basically this, basically an island of dogs in Japan where this kid goes to try and find his dog after dogs get exiled from Japan. So it sounds fun. It sounds kind of charming. It's definitely a Wes Anderson type movie. The trailer looked great. Bill Murray's one of 1,000 voices in there. Everyone from Bryan Cranston, Edward Norton, Yoko Ono, like you name it, they're in this movie. There's Lynn Ramsey's new movie, who's one of my favorite directors. This was supposed to come out last year, starring Joaquin Phoenix. It's kind of a genre take on a Hitman movie, but done in a very different way. Kind of excited for that. It was supposed to come out last year. The title's escaping me right now, but that is coming out finally in April, and it did great at Cannes, supposed to do good. But if we're talking blockbusters, which most people want to talk about, I would say I'm one of the few that isn't excited about Avengers, but you have that coming up that should do great in the box office, Deadpool 2. And the one I'm the most excited for, which comes out in May, and even though I haven't liked any of the news about it or the trailer, I'm still holding out hope for the Han Solo movie. So no matter what, even if either of those three don't do well critically, I think they're going to all three of them do extremely well in the box office. Not Black Panther numbers per se, but definitely on the higher end.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, Black Panther's doing numbers we really haven't seen since, what, Avatar? And that was 10 years ago, 9 years ago. So, I mean, yeah, this is like a once-in-a-decade type run that it's on right now. It just speaks to just how good that movie is and how impressive that thing has done. And I don't really know that anything's going to challenge it, at least not for a few more weeks here. All right, my man, we'll end this one the way we end every other one with you. We need your picks to click for the week.
Well, I'm going to do something different this time. There is Barry comes out on Sunday, which I'm excited for. There's a movie, I think it's called, or a miniseries called Trust on FX that also comes out on Sunday, which is basically the story of the Gettys, which was told in that Christopher Plummer, Mark Wahlberg, Michelle Williams movie that All the Money in the World, basically the same story. They're just doing a miniseries with Donald Sutherland, Hilary Swank, Brendan Fraser. So I'm excited to see Hilary Swank again. But for me, I'm going to pick one that actually premiered last night. I wasn't able to talk about it, or premiered on Friday. Didn't talk about it last week, but I'm unbelievably excited for it. Wasn't able to get around to it. It's a documentary miniseries on Netflix that's supposed to be amazing called Wild Wild Country, which was about a hippie commune that was built in Portland, led to one of the biggest biochemical terrorist attacks on U.S. soil. None of this story I was familiar with at all, and just reading about it, I'm very excited. The reviews are through the roof. It's produced by the Duplass brothers, who you know Mark Duplass was in The League, and him and his brother have directed a few other movies. So everything I've heard is that show. It's called Wild Wild Country. I think it's a 6-part documentary miniseries. It's been unbelievable, and I'm excited to finally sit down and watch that.
Very good stuff. Well, Al, we appreciate the time as always, my good man. Get yourself a sweater or a Snuggie or whatever it is to make sure you stay warm in that 68 or 65 degree weather, whatever it is out there on the West Coast.
Dude, it's tough, man, because when you get to 68, you don't know which coat to wear, right? You can't wear a thick coat. It's tough, man.
It's a tweener because you're right. You don't know if you want to go sweater, if you want to go windbreaker. You're right. You're kind of in between there. Understood. That's a pretty tough struggle. We feel bad for you when we're trying to make it in the mid-30s over here. So we get it to a degree, my man, but we appreciate the time as always, and we'll do it again next week.
It sounds great. I'll talk to you guys then.
All righty. Again, our Hollywood guru, Al Harris, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Great stuff from Al, as always.